cliffcentral.com. It's Kupu, yours ain't banging like mine, no. Yo, what's up, guys? It's your girl, Gigi LeMaine, and you're tuned into The Unplugged Radio Show on Thursdays right here on Cliff Central from 12 to 1 p.m., baby. Are you ready?
I don't think you're ready. So tell me something. What happens when you get two individuals in studio that really are unplugged from the norms and don't want to conform to what we deem the mediocrity of the times? Let me tell you what happens. Actually, let me play for you what happens, because in the next hour, we're about to shut it down.
Woo! It's another one of those really great, great, great days. Welcome to the Unplugged and In Charge Radio Show. Thank you so, so much for tuning in. This is absolutely fantastic. You, of course, with the tribe of superstar leaders, and you're one of them. My name is Weza that guy. I'm piloting the ship, but I'm not alone. I'm along right here with my co-pilot. He goes by the name of Sempiwe Pedros.
What up, buddy? What up? I told you, it's about to go down. What happens in an hour when things come together, when people come together to really talk about things that shape and shift the narrative? It's all about leadership. It's all about you realizing that you're a leader and that you have a part to play in shifting and creating the South African, not even South African, but the youth narrative of our nation.
Yeah.
Of our globe, actually. Not even our nation. I'm thinking about a lot of things. And I wanna emphasize the mere fact that you have everything that you need in you. I don't know what's about to happen in this hour, and I always say I don't know what's about to happen, because I truly don't. And I just hope that you buckle your seatbelt and really unplug yourself from what has happened to you this week, what people told you you can't do, and really be in charge of what happens in the next hour, in the next day, and in the coming weeks, because you have everything you need in you to become the change that you want to see, not only in other people's lives, but in your life. It's time to unplug, be in charge, and really create and dictate the narrative for your future. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the shortest hour in the week. It's about to go down, baby.
It's the Unplugged Radio Show.
What's up, my guy? How you doing, bro?
I'm great, man. I'm fantastic. It feels like you know, I'm taking off, man. Mm. Watch out for me. I'm about to glow. Like, it really feels like that. So much is happening. So many good things are in the pipeline. We're working really hard. I'm, you know, trying to also assemble a team of young people around me that are also about the hard work.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's great, man. It's great. It's great to be doing things and be going somewhere.
Yeah.
And every day when you wake up, there's something new to do, but there's always something to do.
Yeah, you know? Bruh. You know what's funny? Like, yeah. I've actually been thinking about a lot of things. I mean, since we decided to unplug ourselves and when I decided to leave my job, I felt like I was going the wrong way sometimes. You know, sometimes you might not know where you're going in life. And that's what I want to emphasize about the journey of your life. You might not know where you're going, but as long as it feels right to you and as long as it stays true to who you are, keep going. Because the destination is not what life is all about. It's about experiencing the journey, embracing the journey, and realizing who you are and what you have to contribute to this world. So that's the beautiful thing about this life, because I'm expectant. I'm excited about what's happening in my life. A lot has happened in the past few weeks. I've really been more intentional about things that I said I would do at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
And thinking about the fact that it's almost the second half of the year and things need to move and roll forward. I actually launched my website last week, SimpiwePetros.com. It's about to go down, bro. Like, I'm really excited for the fact that it's another avenue of expression for me. I'm really just branching out and really sharing and expressing my opinion on certain issues. You might not agree with my opinion, and that's okay, as long as you have an opinion. Don't be passive in the times that we live in. We need your opinion. We need to engage and discuss our different points of view, because the solutions we're waiting for are in those discussions and in that engagement and understanding each other's perspectives. So that's what I want to be doing over the next few weeks. I want to be talking about the issues that we're facing in our country, the issues that we're facing in the world, and really blogging and talking about a lot of things. Another thing that I also started in the past few weeks was my LYM Academy, the Leave Your Mark Academy, bro.
Oh, yeah?
And it's really focused on empowering people and equipping them with the skills that they always thought that they didn't have. I'm really focusing in on helping up-and-coming speakers discover the speaker that they are, up-and-coming presenters to have the confidence to stand in front of that camera and to really express themselves fully. It's going to be an interesting journey, bro. Like, yeah. Like it's really branching out and stepping out into avenues that I've never really stepped into. Life's not really about me anymore. It's really about empowering the people that are listening to us and the people that look up to us, because I'm truly humbled for all each and every one of your support. We see the love on Twitter and it's amazing. It's humbling. I thank God for each and every one of you, because if it wasn't for you, we wouldn't be able to do what we're doing, man.
Yeah, wow, man. That's absolutely fantastic. It's great to hear. And I know that normally when we listen to a person sound like he's on the move, we start to have that feeling as if we lost a bit of gravity for us in our own lives. We're like, whoa, what's going on in my life? You know, the first thing you do when you hear someone is moving is you start trying to evaluate if you're moving. You're like, whoa, am I standing? Am I moving?
And you don't need to compare yourself, you right?
Know? Yeah. It's like being in a moving car.
Yeah.
You are moving relative to the ground. But exactly. Because you're looking at another car going past, because you're looking at another car going past you, you might say, whoa. What's going on? Am I moving? Because the other car looks like it's moving at a certain pace.
Yeah.
And that's sometimes important that we, you know, that we just do the right type of introspection. Mm. And sometimes you're moving really fast.
Yeah.
But because maybe you're in a bus and you're walking the other way, though you're still moving, it seems like you're going backwards in your life sometimes.
Yeah.
Whereas you're actually going in the right direction in the bigger scheme of things.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
So there's always that. I think Timothy Marie said it's because in the Chinese language, for instance, there's no word for I. There's only we, or I am a part of, but there's no word for I. That means the Ubuntu thing of is really like a deep thing. It comes from a different place. It's also the reason why when you hear somebody else doing something good, you always wonder, what's wrong with me? You know, am I moving? You start with introspection first before you even think, no, that's good for him. I'm a focus on mine. But it always happens. Sometimes it's a split second if you can control your thoughts. And with some people, they just stay in there forever. And it can even become something that, you know, can eventually turn into something bad, and it can eventually become a type of jealousy. But it's always good if it stays something positive, something that just pushes you in the right direction.
You know, you've actually got me thinking. Jealousy is something that's major, especially within young people and just people in general. Actually, why do you think people have such a thing of jealousy? I've got an idea in my mind, but I want to hear from your point of view. What do you think is the catalyst for jealousy?
The catalyst for jealousy.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, it's interesting. Once upon a time, there's this one time what had happened is I was emceeing a certain event.
Yeah.
And while I'm backstage, there's this guy who walked up to me and said, "Are you Weza?"
Yeah.
And I said, "Yes." "Oh, by the way, I hate you."
What? I was like, "Whoa, okay."
So I just kept on walking, where I was going. I'm just preparing my event, you know.
Like, and I'm thinking, "Yo, Weza, I hate you."
You know, by the way, I hate you.
Yo.
And I'm like, "Well, I mean, first of all, we don't even know each other. I don't know your name yet. You know, I just know that you hate me." And I thought, okay. Well, I got one hater now. I didn't know I had one, you know.
That's how you know you're moving forward.
So later in life, I had another event, and this guy was at the event. This son was in the crowd.
Yeah.
And then after the event, he came to me and he said, "Hey, man, I just want to say that I admire your work.
Shut up.
It's something absolutely amazing, and I had to experience it for myself to understand why everyone raves about you and your work."
Yeah.
And In fact, what was actually happening is every single time someone wants to book me, they would pencil book me and say, if Weza doesn't come, we'll use you. But if he is available, we're going to go with Weza.
Yeah,
and
late for him.
So that's why he ended up hating me, because I would be booked so many times and he would lose out on all those bookings.
Shucks.
And now he was telling me why, you know, he hated me initially.
Yeah.
And now he was asking if he can... I can become his mentor.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, wow, that's an interesting way the wheel turns. You start off by saying, hey, by the way, I hate you.
Yeah.
To eventually saying, hey, could you mentor me?
Oh, snap.
It's crazy.
Dog. Like, I think for me, the biggest thing for jealousy is when you don't know who you are. Mm. I always say that your identity is necessity for your prosperity. And when you truly know who you are, you won't even look at other people's life and wish you had what they had. Mm. Like, I think most people find that jealousy is birthed from a place of wanting what you don't have and seeing what other people have and wanting what they have and not even focusing on your gifts and your talents. So I truly understand your story and where it comes from, because no matter what you do in life, somebody will always either love you or hate you for what you do.
Yeah, but, and sometimes they don't hate you because of the bad you do.
Yeah.
They hate the fact that you do what you do so well.
Yeah, you're just too great. Like, your greatness is too much for me. I can't contain
that
it.
That is crazy.
Yeah. So, like, it doesn't, like, the one revelation that I got, and I think this is the one thing that liberated me from, like, comparing myself to people and just focusing on myself, was the fact that I realized that no matter what you do, somebody's always going to have an opinion. So you might as well do whatever the hell you want to do, because their opinions of you don't define who you are. You define who you are. Mm. And you need to step up and really embrace who you are, because in who you are, there is a lot of love, but there's also a lot of hate. But it doesn't matter, because all that matters is that you're moving forward and progressing. And that's the most powerful and beautiful thing on this journey. Yeah. So, yeah, we've got a lot to talk about, bro. But I think we need to take a little breather for a moment and just have a little bit of poetic brilliance from a homie of ours that isn't on the show today. Vaughn the Poet had a poem that he shared a couple of weeks ago. I want to share that thing with you. Let it touch your soul. And then after that, we're going to have a guest of ours who's going to share some wonderful and powerful entrepreneurial experiences.
I feel like I've been keeping this poetry in for way too long, man. Way too long. So let me express. What if we could have achieved things if only we asked? Like, if I took the chance, could I be the rapper? If I rolled in a panda, would I have bros in Atlanta? If I did comedy, would they stand up? Or would they shoot me if I put my hands up? You see, maybe my white life matters, but my black soul doesn't. 'Cause I've seen them line up at Starbucks in their dozens. And I quote, "We'll never line up outside the polls to vote." The same people turn around and talk to me about the country like they just can't cope. Man, I'm losing hope. Everything's so twisted. Can someone explain to me, why do good people keep getting screwed by life like you swear it believes in monogamy? Because when I close my eyes and look into my mind's astrology, they tell me we're free. But how are we free when every month we work to pay the landlord? And how are we free when half the country's screaming, "Where's the landlord?" Maybe everything that's normal needs to be redefined. Like, why do we have to have strong backs? Can't we have flexible spines? You see, the questions unanswered are the ones that I pursue. And I don't do it for me. And I don't do it for you. I do it for the author that's inside my head that writes my story in lead. 'Cause it seems to always erase the memory of when it was myself that I first met. But you can chill, bro. I know that I sound cynical. But all I'm really trying to say is that if growth is necessary, then change is critical. A man once told me that change is our only constant. He said it so sharply, he cut skin deep, he was so clinical, but it made me think that if change is our only constant, then why do we still live by the same principles? I heard that time is the only thing that's actually ours, so I've been spending my minutes counting the hours just to find a second to breathe, to release me from the tension of my own dreams. 'Cause I've been going through a lot lately, and things have been tough. But I've got the whole squad with me. And I know they're gonna hold me down when there's not enough heart in me. But part of me, let me take you back to the beginning. She left me. She said I'm way too busy. And now I'm left picking up the pieces to these emotion pictures to create my own Walt Disney. Vaughn the Poet.
You know what? I love that poem, man. It touches my soul each and every time I hear it. So shout out to Vaughn the Poet, Vaughn the Everything, doing the most on the in the poetic space. I think a lot of the stuff that he spoke about is really relevant in what we're talking about, and really embracing the journey that you're on, and just expressing yourself in different avenues.
Yeah.
I know Vaughn is really doing the most in the poetic space, and it's actually inspired me to step up and really do some stuff in the poetic space as well.
Oh, cool.
I actually wrote a poem a couple of weeks back that,
that
I performed. Baba.
What?
Yeah, bro. It was quite deep. Maybe I'll share one of these days, just Nyana, to throw it out there. Coming soon, just a little teaser. Gotta fight for your future and do the most with it. So yeah, bro, over to you, man.
Yeah, so we are still talking a bit on entrepreneurship this time around, and we joined by a lovely lady that's in those avenues, and in fact she wants to aspire to them, but she does quite a lot, and I'll let her explain exactly what she does. Her name is Basetsana Pule. How are you doing?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. I'm great. So Basetsana, a little about you. First of all, you're in recruitment, right?
Yes, I am.
Cool. Just explain to us what type of people you recruit. What levels are we looking at?
So I had a bit of an upgrade.
Yeah.
Late last year, uh-huh. I moved into executive recruitment.
Oh yeah.
So I play senior managers. So in the businesses that I work for, there is two sides of the business. So the other business will then deal with the lower level, which I think salaries between 650 and below.
Mm-hmm.
So very junior. And then on the side that I deal
650
with,
650 and below is very junior.
Yeah,
damn, some good money.
I place people on the mall.
Yeah.
All right.
So yeah. Okay. Interesting. Yeah. So you deal with senior, meaning what is the bracket we're looking at?
We're looking at the lowest I'd go is about 850, mm-hmm. and above. So, and above would be from a mil to 3.5. Those are the sort of roles that I look for and that I search for.
3.5. All right, cool. Yeah. So, I mean, roughly 3.5, guys, just so
you see, we're all doing calculations, dog.
It's about 290,000 a month.
Yeah.
You know, so. It's like a vurpa per month. You know what I mean?
It's like three vurpas, dog. It's like three vurpas, dog. Yo, it's crazy.
It's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. So now the thing is, what are some of the qualities that you guys look at when you're saying, okay, this person should be the senior manager? Is it mostly qualification, or is it mostly experience, or you know, what are some of those intrinsics that really make you think, this is a good candidate?
So at that level, we can't really like play around. So we're looking at little things like where the person went to high school.
Yeah.
That's important.
What?
For real.
Wow.
Where a person went to high school and what they did in high school. So we look at, did he have colors in school?
Oh, snap.
Jeez,
that stuff still counts.
It counts. And I think it's speaking towards your character and the kind of person you are and your involvement. So are you going to get to work and just be a person who just comes to work and goes, or you're going to be involved? Because most of the time we cruise through school, but it says a lot about the kind of people we are. So do you get involved or do you not?
Yeah.
And we look at things like that.
Athletics team, like, because you know why this is important that you mention this is because I still wonder what to include in CVs now. I'm thinking I've done so much in my later years. Should I still be including what I like, the achievements I did back in high school and varsity and that high school and primary, for instance?
I say you should, because when a CV gets to a recruiter, we then sort of curate the information on a CV.
Yeah.
So we won't necessarily add it into what we edit and send to the client, but it's a nice to know that when we are introducing you to a client, we say, okay, where's did this, where's did that, it speaks of his character. We can then speak on your behalf on what you've listed on your CV.
Wow.
And you guys forget, we can't change what's on your CV. So if you send me a one pager with half the information, that is exactly what I send to the client.
So
I can't add stuff for you, and I can't remove.
So actually better to have like a 9-page CV than a 1-page CV for you, for your point of view, so that you have more to work with, right?
So you'll just you might just shrink what looks like it's irrelevant for the particular post, but at least you could have a nice little paragraph in the cover letter.
Exactly.
I think it's called the cover letter. And in there, that's where you mention the character and you mention things from childhood till now and what the person believes of themselves and why. And then you back that up with that one page really strong CV. Oh, wow.
Damn. Okay, so wait. Now, we're not going to mention any names of your clients.
Yeah.
But I want you to give me an example of your most interesting client and or your most interesting placement, because I think there's a lot of fulfillment in the job space that you're in, right?
Yeah, it is. When I first started in recruitment, I'd say this is, for me, it's always been a highlight. So I was like, I'm a black person, you know, and I'm finna place some black people.
All right.
And also, I'm young, so I need to place my friends.
I didn't
necessarily place a friend, but I placed someone who was a graduate. At one of my clients. She had just finished varsity. She didn't have any work experience at all. Sent these black girls through. They were metallurgists. Sent their CVs through the client. Client interviewed today. Client said, okay, fine, we want to send an offer letter. And I placed her at 550 CTC. So if you take that and then you
some dope stuff.
You times it by what we make as the recruiter.
Yeah.
My first placement was for the company at about 100K. I made the company 100K.
Jeez.
Those are goals, man.
Damn. But not that I saw the whole 100K. I get what commission. I just get commission from that. But as a whole, for the company.
But you did best, though.
You know what I'm saying?
And how does commission look like for people who think, I want to be a recruiter? I think like I'm good at judging people as character and stuff like that. Commission on a single thing, like you don't have to talk numbers. You can talk, or let me say, talk percentages rather than talking actual figures.
No, I can speak now. Okay, cool.
You're free.
Just
no, you're
in
free.
Case. You're free now, bro.
I'd say so. Wiz helps with the math. If someone is earning 550K. At 20%. That is 20% to the company. And then that, whatever you got there, times that by 20%.
Okay,
that's
yours.
What the recruiter gets.
I need to go in the neck.
This lady's loaded.
I'm ready
not
for
really.
That.
Really?
Like, okay, cool. It obviously, there's not a big exec needed every day or every, you know, so I understand that. But this, for instance, if that were to happen, this was 20,000 rand for that particular person.
And that's just one client.
You just got the guy in. They gave you 20 grand for your hard work.
So basically, for being the plug, you got a good 20K.
Do you know what I'm saying? Got them racks.
Yeah.
This girl needs no blessing. She is fine. I need a blessing. Don't chase the blessings
don't
away.
Don't scare them away, please.
Oh my gosh. So tell me, Masatana, apart from the recruitment space, what else is there about you? Tell us more about you, you know? Because I see you've got your own blog. You blog every now and then.
You know, I just put my thoughts on paper. My views of the world and what I think people are doing wrong or right. My perspective, really. So I blog. I've got a blog on WordPress. It's called The World According to Me. And then I've also written a few articles for, can I say the name?
You go for it. You're free out here.
Jobvine. I've written a few articles for Jobvine. Things about like moonlighting, how to deal with work stress, how to deal with conflict resolution in the workplace. I've written articles about things like that. And then I've also been an aspiring entrepreneur. So I've taken that money that I told you about. I tried to take it and put it into a business. And unfortunately, it didn't work. And I laugh at myself because I'm like, really, girl, you did that. You wasted all that money doing all those things, really.
But it's not a waste, though. Let's look at it from a different perspective.
It's a lesson.
You learned a lot, right?
You take an L and it's a lesson, you know. I learned a lot. I'm still at it.
You're still pushing it?
Yeah.
Okay,
wait.
Wait, hold up. Wait, I need to change the tone for the show so that I allow you to just give us your elevator pitch in like a minute. Because there are potential investors listening to the show and we need to hear what your elevator pitch is. Are you ready? Are you ready?
Aye, man.
I hope you're ready. No, I'm gonna put some ambience to it so that
okay
go for it.
This is not necessarily an elevator pitch, but this is really what I'm trying to achieve as a person.
Okay.
So when I was in high school, nobody told us that there's things like metallurgists or chemical engineers or even in finance. Within finance, all you know is that a person is a CA, but there's so many other roles that you can pursue within finance. And I feel like the biggest reason why I'm in recruitment and I want to stay and I want to promote this whole recruitment sphere is to make sure that, yes, black people are underprivileged, but we need to, it's about an access to information.
Yeah.
If you know better, you do better. And it's up to us to make sure that when we have the information, we take it back.
Yeah.
And we can change the status of what's happening in the economy with the job loss and the jobs coming into the country by making sure that kids know that actually you don't have to be a marketing manager. You could be more. You can be an account exec.
Yeah.
You can be whatever you want. There's just so many roles. So people think there are no jobs. There are jobs. There's just not enough resources to match the skills that the country currently needs. Sorry. So that's what we need to look at, to make sure that the people coming out of the schools are aware that, oh, Ghana, I can be an electrical engineer, as opposed to I can be whatever I want. You can, but also think about being whatever you want at the salary that you want.
Yeah.
So look at how much these people are earning and think, okay, I may not like it, but if it's giving me 100 racks a month, like if I'm earning 100k a month, why not? We need to step away from this thing where my dreams, your dreams also need to match the money as well.
Yo! So, cookie levels up. There are levels in this life.
That's a different opinion.
Yeah, bro. That's a different perspective, bro. Like, a lot of people say that they want to go after their dreams and that they won't compromise on the pursuit of their dreams. But you actually brought a different perspective. You're like, okay, well, your dreams are there, but you need to put a number to it, add value to it. I mean, you need to eat in this life still. You need to survive and make sure that you get to that dream. Yeah. I've got a different perspective. My perspective is that, hey, man, it's okay. I might go hungry a couple of days, but I'm going to pursue that dream until I get to where I want to get. But that's the thing about life. As long as you stay true to yourself and you don't conform to what other people are saying, then you'll become who you're supposed to be. Stop compromising and conforming to the opinions of people. You were never born for that, man.
Yeah, I think what she's trying to say in a different way is do what you have to do so that you can do what you want to do.
Yes.
Right? Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Yes, so absolutely.
But Susanna, tell me one thing. Who's your role model? Like, let's pick a female entrepreneur, somebody that you really look up to, and tell us more about them and why.
Oprah. It's like an Ovi, like a snooze fest. It's Oprah.
Yeah.
And I think the one thing that I appreciate, and I'll always mention race because, you know, I'm a black person.
Yeah.
And we need more Oprahs in the world.
Yeah.
We need more women who are doing it for themselves. Yeah. And I mean, really doing it on a scale that large.
Yeah.
She inspires me because every time I watch her masterclass, she says, I'm not pretty. You know, I'm not the prettiest person, but I got the racks, you know, and I can do my job. And that, if you think that your prettiness is going to get you where you need to be, sure, but that also fades. So substance as a person, and I feel like I appreciate that about her, is that una le substance, you know, beyond her money and beyond her work, there's a person behind there with a heart, and she's relatable. The things that she's been through and having to get where she needs to be, you know, the struggles there, getting fired on her job. I mean, if you watched her masterclass, the first show that she had competed with one of the biggest TV shows in Chicago.
Yeah.
They used to bring in homeless people just so they can have an audience. Homeless people. And it was in winter in Chicago. And they'd bring in the homeless people and just to reel them in, give them coffee and give them food. So essentially she was presenting to a team of people who didn't know her, who didn't care about her. For worse, when they looked at the reviews, they used to say, who's that black girl with that nappy hair? Who's so ugly with that nose? And she said it was never about that, though. It was about where she was going. And she got there. And I feel like that's so amazing.
That's some powerful stuff. Yeah. I mean, I think behind every person is a very powerful story. And behind every successful person is a testimony that will keep you going for your lifetime, man.
Yeah.
So that's some really powerful thing. So in the next part of our show, we're really talking about who we deem are the top 5 female entrepreneurs in South Africa, right? Wiza, Do you want to talk? Go straight into that. I don't think we need a break anymore. Let's just go into it, because I mean, we've had a lot of breaks in this.
Cool. So we will indeed chat about the top five. We've got producer Spoke Huzi, who's compiled a list of people he really feels like deserve to be in the top five. It's pretty cool. I think we'll get inspired by quite a number of these. So top five in just a moment. First up, zooming into Basetsane's blog. There's a blog she put up in 2014. We're going into the X-Files.
Yo,
the archive. 2014 on the 24th of July.
Hey,
yeah, yeah. So here she was talking about entrepreneurship. I think it's kind of relevant to what we're talking about today as well. There's quite a lot she mentions here. First of all, starting off, you know, in high school, realizing that, eventually I'm going to have to go and get a job. This dream thing is not really going to be the thing. You know, your mom is like, go to school, get a good job, and that's life. And, you know, she decided to go to work at a SMME, mainly because she wanted to get a clear picture and an unedited version of what the world startup really means. So that maybe one day she can go into it. Now, here's where it gets interesting. She says, fast forward to 5 years later. Currently, she at that time, she was employed at a black-owned SMME. Having worked in three, which have all been in operation for more than 5 years, she was, I'm going to now speak as if I'm her. She said, I have been troubled by the strange behavior small business owners display when they consistently feel the need to feed into a reality that is bright on the outside and broken on the inside. I've seen many hashtags in my life, but none as annoying as hashtag entrepreneurship. What's bothersome about this life is the unrealistic picture it paints of the working world. The dishonesty makes my soul bleed. There is nothing glamorous about running a business. It is not only tiring, but it is draining as well. It is draining emotionally. It drains your resources, and it in turn drains your employees. Nobody tells you how hard it is, but they're all so eager to tweet the rewards, the Instagram profits, and they also dramatize their returns. But the truth is not dressed in bling. Life is hard enough without having to deal with the fact that, you know, you might want to end up working for people who come into the office at 12, ask you how your day was and leave at 4, and then tweet hashtag entrepreneurship.
Imagine
person comes in, is like, yo, how's your day? Okay, sharp. And then they leave, and then they like, hashtag entrepreneurship, I'm such a business owner.
But you weren't there, you know, the whole day. I sounded angry. Oh my god,
painful space.
My god.
So tell us about that time, and tell us, you know, whether your view is still the same, and how it has evolved, if it has at all.
I think I'm a little, like, I'm less angry because clearly, as are my feelings about that.
Yeah.
I'm less angry, definitely, but I feel the same. I feel like people need to be honest. We all want to be entrepreneurs. We really do. Like, if we could and someone gave me money today, I'm there. You know, I'm working hard towards my dream. But don't sell me a lie. Don't show me your red bottoms and say, you know, entrepreneurship. And tell me, I want to know the pain also. I don't want to
show me the struggle, man.
Yeah, show me the struggle. Like, tell me that there was a point where you had 10 rand in your account and you didn't know how you were going to pay your employees, but you paid them anyways. That's what I need to know. I mean, people act like you're in entrepreneurship just to solely make your money and go. Not really. We that's why we're there. That's why we want to run our own businesses. We want the money. So don't tell me about the money. Tell me how you got there. I want the in between. I don't want the rewards and whatever. I want to know when it hurt. I want to know when you sat down and one day you said, you know what? I think I'm just going to close this business. I'm done. You know, like, I can't handle this. I need to know the pain. I need to know that when I get there at that point where you've been, it's easier because I know someone who's been there. So therefore, I know that there's going to be a silver lining. You know, that actually, if you got through this, then so can I.
Hey,
you know?
That's true.
Yeah.
Man. Because it's gets tough,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's interesting. I heard a conversation, I think Vusi Temegwayo was saying that American entrepreneurs, or let me say first world entrepreneurs versus, let's say, South African entrepreneurship, what the difference is that in those countries, their their ambition for entrepreneurship is necessity driven.
Yeah.
Meaning that they see that, hey, people need to connect in a better way. Communication, you need to catch up or keep in touch with people that no longer live where you live. You create Facebook.
Yeah.
Whereas in South Africa, it is opportunity driven. And this is mainly because of poverty in a certain yeah. sense. So you are so hungry, you're not thinking about convenience. You're thinking about what can bring me food.
Yeah.
You know? So when you hear that, hey, there are some people with the tender thing, come up with a construction company, you quickly make bridge things together and you try to do construction. Since when does Simpiwe do construction?
Exactly.
And then all of a sudden something opens up in cleaning, and then you're like, I'm going to get some cleaners together. I'm going to make a company. Yeah. You know, everyone wants to register. Back in the day, it was called the CC. Everyone, you know, you tell to the older guys, like, finally CC. You're like, dog, you have not. I remember a day we drove far to, when I was still living in the Val, I was very young. We drove far to Joburg, and I sat in the car because my dad was one of those traditional old people that believe kids must stay in the car while they do the big things in offices.
Yeah.
So I sat in the car in Joburg for a long time. I don't even remember if it was Joburg or Pretoria, but all I remember is I sat in the car for a long time.
You know when you're sitting in the car for so long that you don't even know how to open the windows of your car, so you start sweating like hard, and you're like, am I dying? Like,
yeah, and it's not even that the windows are electrical, they roll up, but there's that permission thing. Like, who told you can open the windows?
And then they shouted you, if you ever get stolen.
You know what I mean? So I'm sitting in the car after a long time. My dad comes back, and he's all happy and hyped up. And I'm like, what's up? And he shows me these papers that he's just registered a CC.
Oh my God.
you're dead.
And I thought immediately, this means we're going to be rich. We're going to be rich.
We're going to ball so hard.
Oh my God.
What did he do with it? I don't even know to this day. Like, it probably just registered it and just let it. And that's the thing with so many black people who come from that place of poverty, when you're just trying to make it, man. You're just trying to you're trying so hard to just get out of this poverty, man.
You'll do anything. Like, you will do anything.
If they say Cliff Central needs some satellites, work in satellites, but I'm gonna find somebody that
make
does
it happen.
I want a piece of that pie, dog. Yeah. I want some money. And it's a thing. It's really a thing, guys. It gets to people. Like, if I say, hey, Lesejo just told me about an opening to just develop an app for a big company.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, we're going to try to, hey, maybe we could develop that app. We have not been in the app developing space. Now, because of hunger.
It's nothing that you've dreamt of.
Because of hunger.
Yeah.
But because now that is the type of entrepreneurship that is mostly in the country, there is no innovation.
Mm. Exactly.
Because opportunity-driven entrepreneurship does not look at the need and does not look at trying to upgrade their previous innovation, because they're not focused on innovation at all.
I think the biggest thing with entrepreneurship is that you need to be a problem solver. You need to see what the problem is and meet the needs of the people. But the type of entrepreneurship that we're working with at the moment is really focused on trying to get mine, trying to get by, making sure that kids can eat and they sleep comfortable at home and all of that. And that's the lack of innovation that you're talking about.
Yeah.
If we're not trying to meet a need, then is it really entrepreneurship? You know, I'm just thinking about a lot of things.
It's actually a game. It's Survivor, South Africa.
Yeah, exactly.
But the flip side is, you go to, I'm from Alex.
Yeah.
So you go to Alex, you're selling tomatoes. Just on the next corner.
Same tomatoes.
Wes is also selling tomatoes. How about now you are all selling tomatoes? Like, really?
Yeah.
If you go to Pan Africa Mall, they all stack the fruits the same even. I'm like, okay, so where do I buy? Because they all look the same. They all cost the same. You guys are all signing them right next to each other. So what exactly is going on here? Why don't we just open a fruit and veg in Alex,
and
then
just you guys can become
shareholders.
And you guys
can work there.
And,
or they can just work there. Because I can bet you that whatever salary you're going to pay them will
be
more
if
than they make.
If you opened a fruit and veg, they'll probably burn it down and say you're
taking
our jobs.
Hey, Babe.
Because that's the other thing about this type of entrepreneurship, right? Because they are not constantly learning, they get comfortable. Look at the example of the meter taxis, for instance.
Yeah.
Just because your dad got unemployed is like, hey, let's turn the car into a meter taxi. All right, cool. Yeah. That's what he did.
It
not
is
because,
what it is.
Yeah, not because he dreamt of having multiple taxis being operated by different people so that he can actually control a network.
Man's just trying to get by.
He's just trying to get by. Yeah. And then what happens? Uber happens.
Yeah.
And then
now you are killing
he gets
other
angry.
People.
Yeah. He sees a girl hop into an who was standing next to the road, order an Uber or like whatever, request an Uber. The Uber arrives and he hops in, and then he goes, stops the car and just like, hey, get into this car. If this guy tries to break the car's the guy's car, because he has not he doesn't have this innovative spirit that a different you know, in America when Uber happens, then the guys who the cabs that we were used to, I'm sure they find ways to innovate.
Yeah.
Either make a cab app as well, or in fact to say, well, you know what? The Uber guys have expensive cars because Uber has the standard that he has to you know, to hold up. We, on the other hand, have secondhand cars. Our cars are pretty old.
Yeah.
What we can offer is cheaper prices than Uber.
Exactly.
That's what Taxify did.
It is so cheap that you have to. If you're looking at your pocket only and say, hey, dog, I'm still going to get there.
Dog.
It's nighttime. No one will see me. Mm. I'm taking this option.
And that's what and that's what disruptors like Taxify did. They literally like, we don't give a damn about the quality of the car. As long as you can, it can get you from point A to B at a lower price, we got you.
Exactly. Yeah. And who is South Africa? Who's the South African market? Well, we are not a first world country.
Yeah.
We're the type where many people are still looking at their pockets and saying, hey, taxi is better. Uber. Uber. So when Taxify comes in and says, yo, we can do what a taxi can do, but just in a bit of more convenience.
But it's an access to information, guys. I think for me, that it's really a sore point. Such a sore point. Like I'll mention again, I'm from Alex, right? And I'm happy that I sound like how I sound and I know what I know, you know, and I do what I do.
Mm.
And it's really because it was access to information.
Yeah.
So you go to school with white people, you, okay, bite a bit of the culture, like, okay, I see what they're doing. You do that too, you know. I feel like we're so fortunate that, okay, these white people can be so annoying, but, you know, let's learn from them as well. And then you get someone next door who goes to school in Alex, so they have that. It's a shielded view of the world and what the world has to offer. And they're probably thinking, oh, I'm gonna leave school, I'm gonna go work in a call center. Meanwhile, you could actually be a receptionist, you know, and that's just you putting your foot into corporate, you know.
Yeah. So what you're mentioning is very important, the access to information portion of things. But I want to ask you, how do we bridge that gap? You know, it's a tough thing to expose people to that information if they're not willing to receive it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, like, I speak in schools every now and then, and you ask kids, what is their dream? I think I went to a school with Weza the one time, and the girl said, no, she wants to be a pilot. And then we asked her, what do you want to study? Travel and tourism. You know what I mean?
Do you see what I'm saying?
It's sad. It's a tragedy.
No.
But how do we bridge that gap? Because we need to find out that solution, you know?
Curriculum is very important.
Yeah.
Got LO, this life orientation that they teach, and you need to get a distinction, otherwise you fail. But they teach about nutrition, and they expect you to be a fully fledged human being who's functioning at their best in the working world, but they taught you about nutrition.
Hey.
My school has the school that I went to, Eden Glen High, had a job shadow program.
Yeah.
So in grade 11, you decide what you want to be in life. And then they say, okay, go find someone who can keep you at their job for a week. So you go there for a week. If you want to be a pilot, okay, go to South African Airways and go sit with pilots for a week and come back and write a report. I feel like it's not enough, but it's a start.
Yeah.
That we start to shape the curriculum according to how is this going to help you be a better person? It's like the number of accidents and drunk driving in the country, how they can curb that. An alternative is to make sure that instead of saying if you fail LO, you're going to fail your entire matric, how about if you fail your driver's license and you don't drive like a normal person when you're 18, you will fail matric because you need that to be a better person. You actually can't go, apply for a job without your driver's license.
Yeah.
So why is it not part of the curriculum?
Yeah, we should expose and empower the kids from a younger age. It's something that's very important. And I think you as an individual can also have a part to play. It's simple. You could just mentor one kid and you could change that child's life forever by instilling vision for the future. Mm. Because I mean, the Bible says without vision, we perish, right? Mm. So let's do our part. I mean, we're all leaders. So let's shape and change the future one person at a time. I think we can talk about this all day, every day. But I think it's that time, Wizza.
Here are some of the top five young, or not actually young anymore, but some of the women that you can definitely go Google. They are doing absolutely amazing things within the entrepreneurship space. They're disrupting markets. They're also just, you know, great examples of women and women who are really out there actively doing it and leaving a trail for others to follow. First is Siza Mzimela. Now, Siza Mzimela has a number of firsts to her name, the biggest of which is founding the first majority black and woman-owned airline in South Africa called Fly Blue Crane. It really took off quite well. A lot of people were really excited and amazed by it. And in fact, there's a piece of dialogue that I actually want to just read from what happened, or maybe from, you know, from an interview that she had. The question was, when did you know that you could launch your own airline? I'm sure that's a question that ask a person. She says, it was not about me knowing that I could do it, but I never knew that I couldn't do it.
Mm. Oh.
What she says, what she also says is, it's only now that people are negative, or they will come with negatives like, but why would you do this? Or why would you think you need to do this? And so forth. Yeah. That's the importance of people. People will talk about the importance of self-belief. Yes, it is about self-belief, but it is self-belief on the basis that people around me and the people that have always surrounded me have never, ever told me any different. Mm. Instead, it was the opposite. Mm. It was always, why wouldn't you do it?
Mm.
Like, that's the type of people she surrounded herself with.
Yeah.
People who are like, hey, why don't you just make an airline? You know, the type of people that see great things for you and you like, oh shucks, okay, cool. Okay, let me make it. Instead of saying, why do you think you deserve to, like, why do you think, you know, she had the right type of people, and that's what was quite important with her. Then the next is Claire Mawisa.
Can I really read on this one? Because she's one of my favorites.
You got a crush on Claire.
She's one of my favorites, guys. She's doing the most of her life. So over the past 23 years, Claire has proven herself to be something of a career chameleon. Yo, she's done the most with her life. I mean, much of her success was the result of her ability to adapt to a myriad of roles. I mean, she was everything from being a TV presenter to a model to an editor, even an entrepreneur. She did it all. I mean, it was amazing. Today, she is perhaps best known for her investigative reporter role on Carte Blanche. And she really does that in an amazing way. And she's still pushing the entrepreneurial role. She's the founder of Code Teen, an organization empowering young women to be who they were supposed to be, man. Yeah. Shout out to Claire, man.
Cool stuff. Who's number three, bro? Yeah, so in third, we've got Nozipho Mbanjwa. To many viewers across the continent, Nozipho is recognizable as the award-winning business journalist on one of Africa's leading news channels, CNBC Africa. But there's quite a lot that we don't know about her but in fact, she just describes herself as a communicator and connector. Mm. That's pretty much all she says.
Truly.
This ability to build connections and talk a good game is what she believes has helped to drive her success, first in the government, then in the corporate world, and now as a business journalist and entrepreneur. So she's pretty much been able to connect. And that's actually something I always say to people, that sometimes you go to these, you know, these business seminars or whatever, and you feel like, Ishmara, I don't even have a business yet, or my business is not on the level of these people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that you can easily feel like you don't belong there or that you have nothing to offer. But eventually, over time, all you need to do is gather connections, because over time what you have to offer is a connection. You might not be able to give this person something from your personal capacity, but you know someone who can, and therefore you become vital to that person, and they want to keep you around because they think we need this person on the project.
Yeah.
They normally quite connected. They know people that could help us with almost anything. Mm-hmm. And that also is, you know, it's a value proposition.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so in number four, we've got Nunu Mchingila. Nunu is the head of Facebook Africa. She's yeah, she's deep. She was also known for her previous work as communications director of Nike South Africa. So you can see why she's on this list. I mean, she's the chief executive officer of Ogilvy South Africa. She's just been claiming these positions.
I might just headhunter her.
I was just about to say, but Satana is busy on the lookout for
y'all need to give me that name.
For Nunu. Yeah, man, Nunu's on this list for... You can see why she's on the list. I don't even think we need to explain. She's done everything.
No, she's doing the most.
Wizard, do you have any interesting facts on her?
I think
it's enough,
it's
dog.
Ground well covered. We can move on to fifth. We also have here Daphne Mashile. Daphne Mashile Nkosi. It's interesting. Like, when a woman becomes successful, she wants to keep her surname.
Of course,
you know?
But
when she ain't that successful, like, it's okay, I'll keep yours. but as soon as they become somebody,
it's a value add.
Yeah. All right. Cool. Well, Daphne is chairperson of Halagadi Manganese.
They're actually down the road, eh?
Oh, yeah? Mm. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
She's also the CEO of Kalahari Resources and is the founder and director of Temoso Technologies Limited. This is actually pretty cool. This is pretty cool. Like, she's done quite a lot.
Mm.
And, I mean, it's we are fortunate to have, you know, people like this to look up to.
Yeah.
These are the type of people you can Google anytime. Just, and one of the most important things, like, one thing that, about people who are really successful is that they've read biographies of other successful people and they've, you know, tried to follow those footsteps. And that actually really leads to success most of the time.
Yeah, that's some powerful stuff. I won't be surprised if these ladies start changing positions, because I know Basitana's on the lookout.
I'm
to
there.
Put them on. I
even tried to make Kalahari Manganese a client once upon a time in my life.
I don't doubt that. I don't doubt that. And yeah, man, can you believe that it's an hour already?
I actually can't. There's so much to say.
Yeah, yes, man.
This hour of the week.
Yeah, the shortest hour of the week.
That means that you guys are going to bring me back, Wawa.
Yeah, we see what you're doing.
Yeah.
No, we'll definitely have you in the near future, no doubt. You've entertained us. You've inspired me to some degree to really keep on pushing and make sure that, hey, gotta get your life in check in the most.
Yes.
I see what you're doing.
Yeah.
So
you
know what we are now? We're that crew that's there for you just before you leave work.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
We got you. We
great
got your
stuff.
Bag.
Well,
trust and
there
believe.
You go. You've
got
heard
you.
It from a pro. Yeah, that's why we changed.
So yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the shortest hour of Unplugged and In Charge. Until next time, always remember that the sky is the limit. But it's the limit because you can't touch it, except if you're Kanye. See you next week, ladies and gentlemen. CliffCentral.com.